Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Oil India Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Sivasankaran from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, everyone. I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all the participants and the management of Oil India Limited. We have with us, representing Oil India, Shri Harish Madhu, Director of Finance, Shri Pankaj Kumar Goswami, Director of Operations, Dr. Manas Kumar Sharma, Director E&D, and Shri Sachidananda Maharana, CGM. I would like to hand over the floor to Mr. Harish Madhu for his initial comments and followed by a Q&A.
Thank you, Varatharajan. Good morning to all the participants, and we are very happy to reconnect once again after the Q3 results. The copies of the results and the detailed analysis we have already shared with everyone, also hosted on the stock exchanges yesterday itself. Hope all of you would have gone through that. We are available now for any further queries, details that the analysts may be requiring or whatever. And basically, on the physicals part, we have both Director of Exploration and Director of Production of the company also available on the call. Before we can move into the question answers from the analysts, I would request my CGM Finance, Mr. Maharana, to give a brief of the results summary, and then we can switch over to the question answers. Maharana, please.
Thank you. Good morning, dear friends. At the outset, I would like to thank Mrs. Antique Stock Broking Limited for organizing today's analyst call. I am Sachidananda Maharana, CGM F&A Corporate Finance of the company. The company's financial results of Q3 FY24 were published on 13th February 2024. I would briefly give some indication about the performance of the company in both physical and financial terms. Now, coming to the standalone results and beginning with the production front, the company has continued to improve its crude oil production, which is higher by 6.07% in the quarter ended 31st December 2023 at 0.856 MMT vis-à-vis 0.807 MMT in the quarter ended 31st December 2022. Crude oil production for the nine months ended 31st December 2023 has also increased by 5.68% to 2.511 MMT vis-à-vis 2.376 MMT for the nine months ended 31st December 2022. Natural gas production during Q3 FY24 increased by 1.99% over Q3 FY23. Natural gas production for the nine months ended 31st December 2023 is marginally lower by 0.96% at 2,377 MMSCM vis-à-vis 2,400 MMSCM for the nine months ended 31st December 2022. On the financial side, average crude oil price realization for Q3 2023-24 is $84.14 per barrel vis-à-vis $88.33 per barrel for Q3 of 2022-23, decreased by 4.74%. Average annual gas price for the nine months ended 31st December 2023 is $6.5 per MMBTU vis-à-vis $6.92 per MMBTU for the nine months ended 31st December 2022. The turnover for nine months ended 31st December 2023 has decreased by 7.04% to rupees 16,373 crores compared to rupees 17,613 crores in the nine months ended 31st December 2022, which is mainly due to lower crude oil price realization of $82.89 per barrel in 9 months ended 31st December 2023, vis-a-vis $100.27 per barrel in the 9 months ended 31-12-2022. The EBITDA margin for the 9 months ended 31st December 2023 has increased to 47.28% vis-a-vis 44.96% in the 9 months ended 31st December 2022. The company has taken provision towards disputed service tax and GST on royalty, including interest, amounting to ₹237 crore during the third quarter ended 31st December 2023, and total provision of ₹2,892.78 crore, including interest, towards these disputed taxes till 9 months ended 31st December 2023. Profit after tax for the 9 months ended 31st December 2023 decreased to ₹3,523 crore, vis-a-vis ₹5,022 crore for the corresponding period last year. The earnings per share for the 9 month period ended 31st December 2023 is ₹32.49 per share. Now I come to financial performance of Numaligarh Refinery Limited, our material subsidiary. The profit after tax of NRL during Q3 FY24 is ₹858.72 crore, vis-a-vis ₹799.14 crore during Q3 FY23. And profit after tax for the 9 months ended 31st December 2023 is ₹1,516.66 crore compared to ₹2,933.56 crore for the corresponding period last year. NRL's gross refining margin during Q3 FY24 is $12.72 per barrel, vis-a-vis $13.48 per barrel during Q3 FY23, and gross refining margin for the 9 months ended 31st December 23 is $13.12 per barrel, vis-a-vis $19.71 per barrel for the 9 months ended 31st December 22. NRL's EBITDA for Q3 FY24 is ₹1,218.19 crore, vis-a-vis ₹1,121.8 crore for the Q3 FY23, while EBITDA for the 9 months ended 31st December 23 is ₹2,297 crore, vis-a-vis ₹4,179 crore for the 9 months ended 31st December 22. Coming to the consolidated results of the group, oil's group turnover for the 9 months ended 31st December 23 was lower at ₹26,137.84 crore, vis-a-vis ₹32,261.71 crore for the 9 months ended 31st December 22. And the group PAT for the 9 months ended 31st December 23 is also lower at ₹4,647.51 crores, vis-a-vis ₹7,874.65 crores for the 9 months ended 31st December 22, which is mainly due to lower crude price realization, turnaround maintenance of NRL, and provision made towards service tax and GST on royalty, amounting to ₹2,892.78 crores. With this, my opening remark on the performance is over, and we are now open to Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Siddharth Chauhan from Batliwala and Karani Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, I have two questions. One, we have been sustaining the 5%-6% YoY oil production in the last few quarters. Is it through increased EOR/IOR activity or has production commenced from field like Baghjan field?
Good morning. I'm P.K. Goswami, Director of Operations. So this is not due to EOR or IOR activities. This is from our existing fields in Northeast mostly. And this is basically due to new drilling activities in the old areas. So we have drilled lots of new wells in the development wells in those areas. And at the same time, we have done some introduced some new technologies for production from the old wells. So combining these two efforts, we are now getting not only we are maintaining a steady production from the old field, and at the same time, we are getting new production from the new wells. So the ultimate result is that there is an increase in production for both oil and gas.
Sir, just follow up. So when do we expect Baghjan field to come online, and what will be the incremental production if it comes?
Baghjan field is already online. So there is no hindrance in any area in Baghjan. So we have been producing from that Baghjan field, and there is substantial increase in gas production from that field. Basically, it's targeted for gas production only. And as of now, as we speak today, we have been constructing one new field gas gathering station. This will be a gas producing station at Baghjan. So we are targeting a gas production of 5 BCM by next 2 years. So this gas will mostly come from Baghjan.
Okay, understood, sir. And sir, second question on the Northeast gas grid. So I understand it will be commissioned in three phases. So which phase is critical for Oil India to ramp up gas production?
All these three phases are important for us because as of now, as you have seen, the gas production in the first quarter was very low because there was no off-takers for gas. Basically, this was due to non-connectivity to the mainland India. So once we get the connectivity to the mainland India, so we will have opportunities to sell gas outside the Northeast. As of now, we have limited customers, and some customers are seasonal, like the tea gardens, where there is a seasonal demand. So that makes our gas production difficult at some time. So that is why the first quarter production was very low. But once the Northeast gas grid is connected, so we will be having lots of opportunities to sell gas outside. So all the phases of gas grid is important. And at the same time, when we talk about the Indigenous Gas Grid Limited, IGGL, that is working in Northeast, so IGGL is now almost ready, and we have now proposed one more line in IGGL, which will connect our field directly. It will come to the IGGL mainland connection. So that is one line in plan now. So which that line available, we'll be able to produce more.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir. This was really helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Two questions. One, with respect to the production growth, which you mentioned that as of now, it's basically higher level of development drilling plus some recovery techniques from existing wells itself. Can we get some sort of phasing? If I look at the run rate for this year, we are likely to end somewhere around 3.2 to 3.3 million tons of oil. Now, going from this to essentially about 4 million tons, how should we actually build that? Will that be a sort of a gradual progression every year over the next 3 years? Is there any specific field that when it comes to online will deliver that increase? Similarly, for gas, you did mention that it's the one new field that is under development at Baghjan. But is that going to almost entirely account for the 1.5 BCM increase that we are targeting?
Yeah. Good morning. This is Dr. M. K. Sharma, Director of Exploration and Development. Regarding the Baghjan field development, actually we are having stack reservoirs and we are simultaneously developing the field. And this has got a very high gas potential as well as subsequent oil together. Baksan is actually on regularly on production, and we are producing significantly high amount of gas and oil from that area. And looking at the coming up situation, actually to reach the 4 million metric ton, we are having a very well laid down plan, and we increasing our actually accelerated drilling and accelerated activity in the drilling fields of getting the improving the recovery is the plan, and it is in actually in line with our plan. So we in next year, this year we are targeting to increase the drilling of wells by doubling the amount of wells, and we are going close to that. And next year it will be further more. It will be of the order of from 45 to it will be the order of around 75 to 80 wells next year. So with this increase in front, we are very confident that our production will increase and go close to 4 million ton target.
Okay. And we maintain that, sir, the target will be reached sometime by FY26, if I'm not mistaken, or 27. What's the sort of tentative timeline to reach this target?
Prabal, I think this will be 26 will be a very, very fair estimate, because this year production will be around 3.5, 3.4 in that range. And our target for next year is to escalate it to around 3.8. So very next year, 25-26, certainly if everything goes well as per the plan, we will be reaching around 4 million ton by 25-26, or maybe more than 4 million ton.
Thank you so much, sir. Can I get a similar timeline or granular target for gas as well?
Yes, it's gas 5 BCM also around the same similar timelines.
Even earlier than that. So one last question, if I may, a housekeeping question with respect to the other expenses. If I take out the 237 crore from the number reported in this quarter, that still leaves around 930 odd crore of expenses. So, barring this service and royalty provision, is that the run rate you should be building on a quarterly basis for other expenses?
Other expenses, more or less, they continue at the current level. These, even the taxation provision, the GST and royalty, that also will continue almost at a similar level, because the prices are, almost behaving, moving in the it's the normal range, around $75 to $85 per barrel. Gas prices is 6.5 stable. So the royalty of element will be similar. Accordingly, GST or royalty also will be more or less similar. So it will be very fair to estimate that the current run rate of the other expenses or other all the costs will remain as it is. Except there is an element of exchange rate variation which depends on the rupee dollar exchange rate. So this has been very low this time because the variation was less. Last year it was high. So except that, which is basically unpredictable, rest of the elements will continue more or less in this similar trend.
Sir, how much was the exploration write-off in this quarter? That's my last question.
It is 258 crore.
Thank you very much, sir, for your answers. I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. And so I have a few questions. Firstly, so the entire increase in provision and the dry well write-off is basically just 258 crore, and this is on which asset?
No, this will be number of wells. Different wells will be there.
Okay.
Total provision and write-off on account of drivers is
some provision on South Baksan and Bagapani Moran.
Basically on our northeast as well as one bell on this Puri, Mahanadi Basin.
Okay. One bell in Mahanadi Basin also, right? Okay. And so this is like, I mean, this will keep fluctuating, right? I mean, there's no particular trend because...
It will keep fluctuating depending on the drilling, the exploratory drilling that we do and the results of the wells that happen. So this certainly will keep on fluctuating.
Okay. And what about this DD&A increase of 18%? So anything specific on that? The depletion has gone up significantly. Is there any... reserve-related changes or something like that, sir?
It is because of the change in the production reserve ratio.
Okay. So has it gone down?
Yes.
Okay. So this is like the current run rate we have to take out. It's like pretty fluctuating, I think, the depletion part also. So just wondering if...
Depletion happens relatively because the reserve estimation is done only at the year end.
Okay.
Production growth is coming quarter to quarter. The new reserve estimation will be only at the year end. So for the current year, yes, it will continue. Q4, it may change again because before the Q4 result, we will have the new reserve estimate.
Okay, it's taken on a financial year basis, right? Not on a calendar year basis.
Yes, reserve estimate is annually done, not quarterly.
Okay, and sir, a couple of more questions. In terms of like this IGGL, you have said that it is almost ready. So when is the commercial commissioning expected, and when is this new line that you have proposed going to commission?
We have to check back. IGGL commission will have to check back. Something we don't have readily available. But I think first phase is getting commissioned within this financial year or early next financial year.
Within this financial year, they are saying. So,
like that, we have to check that. Okay, fine, sir. And also this NRL, there has been an increase in profitability QOQ despite lowering of GRMs. So, anything specific there, or is there any kind of like write backs or anything of that sort?
No, NRL, basically the performance of the refinery in Q3 has been very, very, very good. And they have operated at about 114% of the installed capacity. So that is contribution.
Okay, sir. And sir, has they given any interim dividends?
NRL has declared yesterday, yes. In their board meeting day before, they have declared it as well.
Okay, and how much would that be if you could disclose? I mean, if it's permissible to disclose?
Allow us not to disclose because this is a closely held company and not relevant possibly for the investors.
Right, sir. And sir, last question.
In any case, in our next quarter results, you will come to know how many dividends we have got from another. So that will be reflected.
Okay, sir. And sir, last question. This Mozambique debt. I think it's on your standalone books as external commercial borrowing. So is there a thought process to like transfer it to some new holding company or something? I think ONGC has come up with some new holding companies for like taking that debt in those books. But are you like restricted by some ECB covenants and something that you have to keep it in the standalone debt itself?
No, Mozambique is not only the ONGC. It's basically the complete asset is undergoing has undergone a restructuring with the one asset company, one holding company structure. That borrower, SPV, SPE, selling a seller, so complete structure has undergone a change for the Mozambique asset. So we are also going according to that, and that structure is applicable to us also.
So this
ONGC might have declared all those things because BREML is the subsidiary company of ONGC. So whatever is applicable to ONGC for Mozambique asset is applicable to us also.
Right, so incremental capex and funding will happen in that asset management company, but your initial ECB will remain as it is. Is that right?
So everything is moving to the new structure. Correct.
Okay. Yes. So standalone debt will go down, right, because of this restructuring?
No, actually, the ECB that has been taken by Oil India, it will not be impacted because this is what we are investing in BREML. So, till date, we have invested almost close to $1,500 million that will remain in Oil India's book as borrowing. What DS sir was telling is that the structuring below BREML level, that has changed. That is undergoing a change.
Okay, got it. I mean, any kind of future capex will be taken by that AMC rather than...
The borrowing at the project level will be done by the borrower SP, and that will be on-lending will be done to the FETCO for the execution of the project.
Right, sir. Got it, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. I'll come back if I have any more questions. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mayank Maitri from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the call. A couple of questions from my end. One was in terms of dividends, sir, there has been no interim dividend this quarter. Any specific reason on what are you thinking on the overall dividend and capital allocation policy from Oil India?
See, dividend, we follow the government guidelines. You must be aware there are DPE guidelines on dividend distribution, DPEM guidance, sorry. Basically, it is 5% of the net worth or 30% of the profit after tax, whichever is higher. So we follow that, and one interim dividend we have already declared. And as of today, decision has not been taken. Yesterday's board meeting, no decision was taken. But if any call is taken, we have to discuss with the government also before the end of the financial year. And we will see if something is required, we may or may not declare the dividend. Otherwise, everything will go as a final dividend. But for the full year, that guidelines will be followed.
Okay. And sir, can you just talk us through in terms of the update around NRL upgrade as well as how much of the CapEx has been spent there and what are your plans on Oil India level CapEx and exploration for fiscal 25?
Let me first cover the Oil India part. Oil India fiscal 25 CapEx plan is close to 6,000 crore. And out of this, of course, the exploration, this includes about 1,000 crore equity investment in NRL as well. You may be knowing that NRL has, we have to contribute about 2,100 crore in NRL. Right issue was made by NRL last year, and 50% of the total call we have already contributed. And another 1,100 crore will go into next year. So total about 6,000 crore is the capex plan of Oil India for next year. NRL, the chief capex is 28,000 crore total. Total actual commitment and investment till date is about 15,000 crore out of the 28,000 crore total refinery cost.
Yeah. And then what has been the progress in terms of the completion of the upgrade?
Okay, the refinery is about 55-60% is the completion.
Got it. Okay, clear. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. You mentioned about the sort of the bug. Indradhanush gas grid is coming to the completion with phase one likely to complete by either end of year or early next financial year. So for marketing our gas outside Northwest, are we going to do it ourselves and have we started talking to customers for additional sale of gas outside Northwest?
No, actually, with the present gas production, we are not yet covering the Northwest, entire Northwest also. So as of now, our target will be covering the Northeast because there are lots of other factories in the Upper Assam side which are not being covered by our gas. Our gas is up to Numaligarh. So we are selling gas up to Numaligarh point only. So beyond Numaligarh, lots of gas customers are there. We are initially targeting all those gas customers. Then we will proceed to the next part.
So with phase one, which are the additional areas where we can sell it, this gas into?
Up to Guwahati.
Up to Guwahati. Have we started discussing with the customers up to Guwahati in that sense to sell the additional volume?
Additional volume is not yet finalized. This is under discussion now.
Discussion with the customers has also started or not? That was
yes, actually. Discussion with the customers has started. Actually, our main customer, one customer will be Pugo Bharati Gas Grid Limited, who is giving down CNG and PNG connections in Guwahati City. So, they have already started their job, and lots of other factories are there, cement factories and other units are there. So, we are looking for some tea gardens also in those areas. So, these are the new probable customers for us.
And what could be the incremental demand from this particular area, which we can target during phase one?
As I said, the number is not yet finalized. So our production target is by next year 3.5. So definitely we're having sufficient customers for that.
Sure, sir. Second question was about the exploration capex that we are targeting for Q4 as well as FY25, and which are the key wells that we will be targeting within this exploration capex?
Actually, our exploration is, presently, you are aware, our exploration is having both actually all the exploration OLP regimes as well as the existing PMLs. So, combining that, we are having a strategy that has been getting implemented. We call it near field exploration, where the area in and around our PML area is taken into consideration. And we, inside the area, with different exploration opportunities, and at the same time, OLP explorations are also kicking off for drilling phase. So simultaneously going on, we are drilling in Mahanadi, we are also drilling in Northeast, we are also drilling in Rajasthan, and at the same time, our near field exploration that we have categorized is continuing. So we look forward for a extensive exploration in coming days.
Understood, sir. In terms of the chunky exploration write-offs that we see, does it arise from both the areas, from our near-field drilling and the Mahanadi and Rajasthan drilling, or it's more attributable to the drilling that we undertake in the new exploration areas like Mahanadi and Rajasthan?
This any write-off will be attributable to any exploratory drilling, whether we do in the current nomination block, what you call near field exploration, or the new OLP and ELP block. This is coming from everywhere. And I think the distribution of wells, also exploratory wells, is more or less, currently it is more in the near fields, and going forward it will be more in the new exploration, ELP or the OLP block, rather OLP block.
Right, sir. And just one final question. From the capex perspective, we indicated the 6,000 crore for FY25 with exploration at around 1,000 crore, and I understood NRL at 1,100 crore for the next year. What are the other components of the
capex? 1,100 crore is for NRL, and then exploration, development, survey, all put together, it will be close to 3,000 crore. 50% of the expenditure actually goes into the exploration and development. So what 1,000 crore exploration you are talking about is only the drilling part. And it can, in fact, if we start the offshore drilling, this expenditure may further increase in the RE stage. And when we revise the capex targets, midterm review we have happened. So as of now, whatever we have planned, depending on the res plan, so total exploration expenditure will be anywhere between 45% to 50% of the total capex target. 1,100 crore NRL investment and balance in various capital equipments and maybe something in Mozambique project if we have to invest.
In this 6,000 crore does not include as of now the any expenditure on Mozambique. So if that comes, would that be extra during FY25?
So partly we have about 250-300 crore we would have certainly included, which is depending on the expected cost that may be coming from or something. Some expenditure has already been, investment has been factored in.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thanks for this call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, may we request all participants to limit their questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gagan Dixit from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, sir. When I see your last year, this presentation, that mentioned your domestic 1P reserves are around 780 million barrel, and your annual report says your developed reserve in the domestic market is around 200 million barrel oil equivalent type of number. So my sense is around 25% of your reserves are the developed reserves. So whatever the production growth you are targeting for the next 2 years, am I safely assume that this is mostly the upgradation of the undeveloped to your developed reserve of that same 70 million barrel 1P reserve? That could be the case.
Yes, you are right. So basically, that is one agenda. But at the same time, we are also carrying out explorations for newer plays, which are getting added. So there will be a section, but significantly it will be from the upgradation of the reserves from the one category to the higher category.
Okay, sir. So it means that technically you can increase further production also if you want to further develop those reserves, because 20% is a very low number.
Yes, you are very right. You know, in the production, we are already having a target of reaching 4 million ton by 26. But then gas, you know, as you are aware, you know, it's market driven, and connectivity to the mainland is the main constraint. So we are having significant potential to increase gas, and we are ready with that. The moment the connectivity comes, we will increase the production of gas.
Sir, is there any study with you about the contingent resources that's in the Assam basin, or something that get the sense about the exploration potential, if any initial studies with you have, sir?
Yes, yes. Actually, this is a continuous process, as you are aware. When you take up a block, it has been carried out. And basis that, you know, there are around, as we speak, there are 17 blocks that is under various stages of exploration. And we are carrying out this contingency resource assessment, and then we're carrying out the exploration through different phases from seismic till drilling. So that's a continuous process. That is actually rest of the PML beyond the area, beyond PML is actually taken care of by that process.
Okay, sir. And my final question is, I think you have identified 4 or 5 fields that for production ramp up in the Assam region. So if you give some sense about the timeline and some possible production addition, roughly range, something that could be helpful, sir?
I think you are referring to the Mission 4 Plus production target. So for that, we have identified 5 fields. And as of now, drilling activity, as we have discussed in the previous discussions, that drilling activity is in ramped up in all those areas. And the target is next year around 3.8 to 6, and the subsequent year we are achieving more than 4 plus. So that is the plan from these 5 fields.
Okay. That 5 field is a part of your this production ramp up plan.
Yes, yes. It's the same plan.
Okay. That's from my side, sir. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Harish Mahal. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the call. See, the first thought is your segment results from the gas business has dropped more than 30%, whereas the gas price hasn't declined that much. So what is the reason for this sharp decline in the gas segment earnings?
For the 9-month period, as you already know, the first quarter was affected because of the offtake was less. Numaligarh Refinery Limited, they had a plant shutdown, and subsequently there was a fire incident. So that's why it was closed for almost 75 days for this in the first quarter. And in the first quarter, BVSCL also, they had a plant shutdown. Brahmaputra Crackers and Polymet Limited had also a plant shutdown in the first quarter. So in this 9-month period, if you see, the drag is because of the shortfall in the first quarter.
Okay, so if you look at your growth drivers for next year, based on the 10% growth in oil production, maybe similar growth in gas, assuming the costs remain the same and there is no increase in the rival write-off, would we be able to reverse the decline in earnings we are seeing this year? So would you be able to get back to growth in earnings, so say in FY25?
Yes, this is a one-off incident, as you see, and subsequently in the second and third quarter, it has been improved. So with the improved performance, we are certain that the performance will be in the coming quarters, the performance will be much better.
So on the GRM reported for Numaligarh, these numbers, are they including the excise duty benefit? Because the numbers are very low, it includes the excise duty benefit. So what is the excise duty benefit you have got and the GRM numbers you reported for Numaligarh?
So this GRM is reported as a core GRM without the excise duty benefit.
Then what would be the excise duty benefit which is included in the segment results?
About $15-$16 per barrel.
$15-$16 per barrel for 9 months. Okay. So yeah, in terms of your long-term plan for Numaligarh, once the expansion is done, what is the timeline for completion and startup of the expanded capacity of 9 million? And what is the
schedule for July 25, but we can consider another 3-4 months extension. So fair estimate will be around September 25.
So, yeah, where do you think you will be able to sell that? Because it's almost about 2x addition to your current volumes. So what is the evacuation plan, and how confident are you in terms of being able to sell the entire 9 million throughput equivalent of output?
All these things have been already tied up. Agreements have already been done with Bharat Petroleum Corporation, and also some agreements with the private marketers plus other OMCs. As far as the evacuation plan is concerned, the larger evacuation will happen through the Numaligarh-Siliguri pipeline, which is currently having a capacity of 1.7 million. It is already under expansion to 5.5 million tons annually. So all petrol, diesel, and kerosene, these three main products, out of the 9 million tons, whatever is the production of these three products, 5.5 million, that the pipeline is getting expanded. Plus, Numaligarh has already laid a pipeline of 1 million tons per annum diesel pipeline to Bangladesh. And all those plans are already in place and under implementation.
Okay. So in terms of your sale of gas, are you going to sell to GAIL or are you directly selling it? And what is the pricing arrangement? Would it be at the APM price? What is the kind of pricing you will get? If you can share your thoughts on those few aspects.
As of now, the entire gas that we are producing is basically the APM gas. But there was a provision in the gas pricing guidelines about some premium pricing, 20% premium pricing from the new gas wells, certain areas. But those guidelines are yet to be issued, what will be considered as eligible for premium pricing. So once we get those guidelines, then only we will be able to find out how much my gas production can be eligible for additional price. Otherwise, as of today, entire gas production is APM gas production, eligible for $6.5 per MMBtu.
So will you be selling it through GAIL or you're directly dealing with the customers for gas?
We are selling entire gas through directly, nothing through GAIL as of now.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Somaiah V. from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Vishnu from Avendus, sir. So a couple of questions. Firstly, on the production targets we have just given, so this factors in a base decline also, because typically all our fields also kind of decline, so which means our production has to be significantly higher to cover up the base decline also?
Yes, you are right. Actually, whatever is increasing production is after compensating the decline, field decline, and plus additional change. So average decline has been taken care of, and then we are having the increased production. This is beyond the considering the decline itself.
So if I talk about a decline of around 8-10%, so we are now showing a growth of 6%. So this is 10 plus 6. That means the total growth is 16%.
Around 16%.
Understood, sir. Second, on the gas marketing, which you just discussed about, at least in the near term, at least in the next couple of years, what kind of volume that we think that we can place in the markets around the new pipeline or nearer to our markets?
So by the next 2 years, our target is 5 BCM of gas. So we are looking for that type of market in the when it is get connected to the mainland India. So I don't think there will be any constraint in marketing. So that is why we have now placed a plan of 5 BCM gas.
additional 1.5, basically taking a clue from what my director of operations just mentioned. Currently, we produce around 3.2 BCM annually. The growth 3.225 will be 1.8. So, taking out the internal consumption, any growth in internal consumption, etc., at least 1.5 BCM additional will be available in the market once we reach production level of 5.
Understood. So we generally get a the customers get a subsidy in terms of pricing which gets sold in Northeast. So this additional gas will also be eligible for this. And currently, what is the subsidy per unit of gas do the customers get?
Subsidy is only certain customers get subsidy. Certain class of customers get subsidy. Subsidy is 40% of the gas price. Now that subsidy is limited to the allocations that have been made by the government long back, 2005-2006. After that, there is no increase in the subsidy allocation. So at the free additional drop of molecule of gas will be at the full price, nothing on subsidized.
Understood. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. A couple of them. Firstly, some numbers. So this, can you please share the seismic cost for the quarter?
Seismic cost? 131 crores.
For the quarter? 130 crores. 130 crores. And same number for the previous quarter, what was that?
175
crores. The YY quarter, I mean.
One second. Let's see the numbers.
Yes.
16, 16, 24. Current quarter
130.
Last quarter was 110 crores.
Sorry, 110. Okay. The other thing was this provision on GST that has been made in this quarter. This appears to be much more than 18% on the royalty for the quarter. What am I missing over here? I mean, this number is like...
Actually, sir, this number includes not only GST, this includes also interest outstanding on the outstanding balance. So that is why the amount does not match at 18% with the GST, with your royalty amount.
But if you have already put in the amount in escrow, would you also need to put in the interest? I mean, are you charging... if that amount has been already deposited, although under protest.
Mr. Vikas, entire amount has not been paid. Say, out of the total provision, total GST that is payable, only about 1400 crore has been deposited with the government. So that, after the date of deposit, of course, doesn't bear any further interest. The remaining about 1100 crore, which is, so the provision has been made, it has not been deposited in view of the granted by the Guwahati High Court. So that certainly is maybe liable to interest, which provision we have created.
And what rate of interest are we charging? I mean, is there any penal rate of interest as well over there? Like you said, 24. So about 1,000 crores, you said, 1,100 crores, right?
1,100 crores is the unpaid amount, yes.
And what rate of interest are we looking at over here? Because you...
Rate of interest is as per the rate given in the GST Act.
Okay. Understood. The other question was on this production number that we are talking about, going from 3.4 million ton, you said, next year, and then 3.5, and for gas going to 5 BCM in FY26. So FY25, what is the kind of number that we are looking for gas?
Gas will be around 4 BCM. It will not reach 4 BCM. It will be near about 3.8 to 3.9.
So 3.8 to 3.9?
Yeah, this is basically customer driven. Once the customers are established, the gas grid is established, the customer will go up, and accordingly the gas production will go up.
As of now, as I speak, we have the potential to produce all those wells, but we are not producing because we do not have customer. If we produce, we have to flare it up. So we do not produce, we are closing some of the wells. So once we get the customers, we'll be able to produce. If I get a customer of around 3.8, 3.9 BCM, we'll be able to produce that by next year.
Customer basically means your connectivity that you're talking about, right?
Yes, yes. Basically yes. Customer, yeah.
So that connectivity, what is the update on that? I mean, how is that pipeline connectivity moving as your best case?
As of now, the mainland connectivity may say take some time, but it is coming up to Guwahati, it will be ready. So, but up to Guwahati, we will be able to capture all those customers by this year.
And for crude, 3.4 to 4, I mean 3.5, you said 3.5 in FY25 and then straight away going to 4, that's a pretty big jump. So any particular reason or is it simply with NRL hopefully coming by FY26, which will only be partly, that is not what is causing it, right? Or is it dependent on NRL take it, the offtake going to them?
Sorry, I could not get it. Can you just repeat?
I'm saying you are talking of crude going to 3.5 FY25 and then 4 million ton in FY26, right? Is that what your guidance is?
No, this is not related to Numaligarh refinery. Crude, we have the customers, so we can produce crude oil.
Okay, so but this is the guidance, right? 3.5 and then 4.
Yeah, 3.8 next year, then 4.
3.8 in FY25.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. Those are my questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is, excise benefit will be available for expansion of NRL from 3 million to 9 million tons?
What benefit?
Excise benefit.
Yeah, it is available. It is available. Okay. As long as excise duty is continuing, this benefit is available.
Okay, and marketing of entire 9 million will be by BPCL?
Not necessarily. We are tying up with BPCL, IOC, SPC, even the private marketers also. But majority will be, of course, through BPCL.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Sivasankaran for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Michelle. Harishji, if you have any closing comments, please go ahead.
No closing comment as such, but I will certainly thank all the analysts and the investors who participated in the call for your interest in the company. And I think it's your positive outlook that you are basically conveying to the investors, to the shareholders, that basically reflected in the company's market cap and the share prices of late. Thank you very much for all of that, and thank you very much for joining us today. We are open for any queries, any calls at any part of time. If any clarification needed, please reach out to us. And thank you, Antique Broking and Mr. Varatharajan for ordering this call. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Harishji. Thanks for giving us this opportunity to host the call, and I thank all the participants for taking time out to join this call. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.